Hey, I made that joke earlier.
Yes, but
don't steal my jokes.
The recording was not rolling, so.
Oh, I see.
Ah,
so
it's my joke now.
You're gonna get canceled for stealing
Actually,
jokes,
Actually, it was VeggieTales joke first, Ashlyn.
I know, so but you credit. Had a letter. You had a letter from the IRS.
Yeah, yeah. So, where? Yeah. Don't tell them I got a letter from the IRS.
Miranda does her taxes. Crazy.
No, it was actually the IRS telling me they owed me money, which was nice to hear for once.
Are you trying to say that you're not going to get arrested for tax fraud?
Yeah. I'm surprised because I do my own taxes and we know how good I am
at
math.
Are you?
So.
Are you ever afraid that you're accidentally going to commit tax
yes!
fraud? Yes. All right. So hi and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. I'm Ashlyn.
And I'm fed up. No, I'm just kidding.
Hi, fed up.
I'm Miranda.
Welcome to the podcast, Feta.
This is going to be like a true crime podcast in a minute.
We actually have an announcement of sorts.
We do?
Yeah, about our upcoming bonus episodes.
Sure, I didn't think we were going to talk about that just yet.
I'm excited. I'd like to talk about it a little bit.
We've been in contact with some of the ex-congressional members of the religious establishment that we talked about a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, if you know what we're talking about, you know.
If you don't,
it'll be a fun surprise.
Maybe you should go back and look for it.
But yeah, we're gonna run a couple of bonus episodes where these people are gonna like talk about their experiences. We're very excited. So yeah, we've been in contact with them. We're getting some more information. It's actually pretty cool.
It's really just about getting people's stories out there.
Yeah.
And letting them be heard, you know?
Exactly. That's the point. So I'm very excited to have this upcoming. And yeah, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. Anything you want to bring up, Miranda?
If you haven't already, go to your favorite podcasting app.
Rate,
say that awkward
review.
Yes.
No, it could have been
review,
more.
Like, subscribe, I don't know, follow, you know, all the things. Maybe give us some money. Oh.
Donations are up on our Anchor. And
that's
we also,
an option.
And we also have a Patreon. And you can find that Patreon at patreon.com/ I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Shout out once again to our first Patreon subscriber.
David Metis
from Metis Media. But yeah, if you become a patron, you might get some like goodies and stuff. I mean, just saying.
Did you say if you become a Patreon?
I don't know what the term is. You know, stay tuned for the end of the month, the 28th, I believe, of June.
Sure.
I don't know what day it is. I believe it's the 28th of June. That is going to be our 1 year anniversary podcast episode is coming out that day. Woo. It's going to be fun. I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be, but it's not going to be a normal episode for us, but it's going to be fun.
We're going to have a good time.
Maybe take a trip down memory lane.
Go cruising. All right. So a couple weeks ago, I did mention on Memorial Day, that episode,
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to kind of stay in the realm of American history.
Did you want me to stay in
I don't
patriotic
care what you
realm?
Do.
Because I stayed in Missouri, so I did, it was on home turf.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to try and stay in America until Independence Day. And so I decided to do a conspiracy that actually involves the American government, as well as one of the longest burning fires in American history.
Mm. You mean the U.S. history?
Yes, true. We are
technically
one
of
the
Americas.
North American countries. Correct.
There's a lot of Americas.
So, Miranda, I'll tell you what.
What?
I'll tell you about Centralia, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Now you.
So it's the Central Pennsylvania.
No.
Well, it's called Centralia. Okay. What do you
want?
Yeah,
because center was already taken, or something like that.
They're like Central was already taken. We're going to be
Centralia.
No, I'm just kidding.
So okay. you've actually likely already heard about this.
I think I've heard about an eternal flame before, yes.
Not an eternal flame.
Just a really long burning one.
Yeah, underneath the ground.
Ew.
So the conspiracy.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. So the conspiracy is, did the American government sabotage firefighting efforts in the mines below Centralia, Pennsylvania, in an attempt to gain control over the town's
that
coal?
That happened in the United States?
Yeah.
Whoa. Sorry.
This feels like a Wayne's World episode or something.
No, this is something I know about a little bit. I've heard of actively.
So I'm going to go through the history of Centralia, what kind of got us to this point. And then I'm going to go into the whole fire, what happened there, and the efforts, and why there's a conspiracy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the history of Centralia, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
In 1842, the Locust Mountain Coal and Iron Company purchased the land that would ultimately become Centralia.
Ooh.
Or Centralia? Central?
I'm pretty sure Centralia is probably the most correct. We're going to say it.
Probably the most Midwestern way of saying it. At
Centralia.
The least.
Oh, wait, no, that's Southern. Centralia. I'm trying to do as wide and flat of a palette as it possibly can. Because that's how Midwestern people talk.
We're from the we've got an amalgamation of
weird
our mannerisms.
Our vernacular is that of somebody from California.
Because we were raised by Californians?
Yeah, mixed with Northern Missouri, Midwest.
Yeah.
It's the most bizarre thing. Sorry. That you
I'm
have to
not,
listen to it.
If you were sorry, why'd you start a podcast, Miranda?
I have a beautiful voice, and I will not apologize for it.
You just did.
Shut up.
Anyway, so this coal and iron company
purchases
this land because it was known that there was anthracite coal in that region.
Mm-hmm. Probably under the ground.
Yes, that's where usually coal where comes coal from. Is. Congratulations, Miranda.
I thought they were coal trees.
They developed the land into a small village, and in 1854, the Mine Run Railroad was established to transport coal out of the area.
Jeez, I was not expecting 1854 to come out of your mouth. I don't know when you started this story.
1842.
Poof. I don't think I heard the 18 at first. I was like, whoa there.
The first two mines opened up in 1856, and over the next 8 years, three more would open.
Okay.
Centralia was officially incorporated as the borough of Centralia in 1866. So officially, this is a borough.
I'm sorry. So in the 1800s, these people were like, center is taken. Let's name it Centralia.
It was like a post office issue.
Why'd they have to, it's 18. It's not like that many names were taken already at this point.
I know, but.
I'm sorry. I'm getting really hung up on their name.
You really are.
Continue. Somebody from Centralia is going to come after us and be like, how dare you?
I mean, probably not.
Oh, are you going to tell me why?
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that. So the area of Centralia is actually quite small, about 0.24 square miles. For reference,
so it's like a neighborhood.
For reference, Excelsior Springs is like 10 square miles.
Yeah. So it's a neighborhood.
Basically, yes.
So, okay.
And yet there's still a lot of business and...
So it's like kind of like a pioneer town where they have like one main street, basically.
I mean, it's a mining town where there's a main street called Locust Street. And then there's like a couple other neighborhoods.
So it's literally just like...
It's a borough, Miranda. It's a borough. So, interesting history around Centralia.
Yes.
In 1868, the founder of Centralia, Alexander Ray, was murdered by three men thought to be members of the Molly Maguires.
The who?
Yeah.
The Molly Ringwalds?
No. So, the Molly Maguires are an Irish secret society known for their activism, in particular regarding agrarian rebellion.
I'm sorry. So they murdered the guy, or the guy was murdered because they thought he was part of them?
No, they murdered the guy technically.
Oh no.
Agrarianism refers to the value of rural society and how being an independent farmer versus a paid worker can shape social political ideals. Basically,
in layman's terms, please.
Like, the independent farmer is more powerful than, like, the worker kind of thing.
So they were farmer elitists?
Kind of, but it was because they were poor landless people. So, like, they wanted to have land and everything, and they were trying to fight for it. And they didn't really like landlords.
Come on, guys. Irish people weren't exactly liked at this
time.
Well,
no, this was worse. No, this was started in Ireland. In Ireland, the agrarian rebellions were often conducted by rural and landless Catholics. These rebellions often resulted in people slaughtering the animals of landlords, as well as stealing.
Jeez!
People who took part had the main goal of disrupting the judicial system and reducing the price of rent and taxes.
So they were like, let's cause violence, therefore property value will go down and pay less
Not
taxes.
Not necessarily. I think they were just trying to scare the landlords into giving them land.
Well, fine.
Yeah. By 1820, these rebellions grew increasingly violent, resulting in a sort of quite literal class warfare, with members of the poor population using weapons and even committing murder against the wealthier landowners that virtually owned the economy.
Oh, God. I don't know whose side I'm on.
Well,
I don't like
violence. It reminds me a bit of the Russian Revolution, you know, the Bolsheviks going in and take no prisoners, so to speak. Yeah. People don't like being oppressed. They really don't. What a concept.
Don't oppress people, but don't murder people.
I guess.
It's a little rude. It's a little frowned upon.
The Mollies were one of the groups active in agrarian rebellions in Ireland, with an identity of being rural, local, and Catholic. And I'd love to do more research into the Mollies and their beliefs, but that's a topic for another day.
Yes.
So what is important is that there was a lot of violence, such as kidnapping, arson, and murder, in the coal mining communities of Pennsylvania.
That's not good.
And it was believed that the Mollies were behind it.
Lovely.
The interesting thing to note, however, is that the actual presence of the Mollies in the region is of some debate.
Uh-huh.
So there did exist an Irish Catholic immigrant organization in the area, the Ancient Order of Hibernians. Members of this group did seem to have ties with the Molly Maguires, and the organization as a whole had roots in agrarianism, and it was generally accepted that the AOH was a front for Mollies.
I'm sorry, you said AOH, and I immediately thought Homeowners Association?
It's an HOA, right?
I know.
Right, it doesn't do well with words or
I
letters.
Don't know how to read or listen.
However, some historians posit that the Molly Maguire crime wave was a narrative manufactured by coal operators who were seeking to prevent unionization.
Yeesh.
Which I thought was an interesting take on it. Anyway, Centralia seemed to be a hotbed of Molly Maguire activity in the 1860s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as many leaders were convicted and hanged in 1877, activity died down soon thereafter.
They're like, oh, we dying.
Yeah. Yeesh. Oh, we could die for this?
We better
for murder?
Stop. We could be hanged for murder?
Shoot, we out.
Well, shoot, dude.
I guess we won't be doing that anymore. Centralia's highest population was recorded in 1890 at 2,761 residents. That's not a lot of people at all.
They're
that is fine. So over the next few decades, mining in the area would reach its peak up until the U.S. entered World War I in 1917, and many young miners left to enlist.
Oh.
The Wall Street crash of 1929 saw the closing of 5 local mines.
Oh, no.
These idle mines would then be subjected to pillar robbing, where the coal from the mine support pillars was extracted.
Oh, God.
By what are referred to as bootleg miners.
Oh, God.
This, of course, led to the collapse of several idle mines.
Yeah.
And this will factor in later.
I'm sorry. Your bright idea was to go into the mine and chop down the support beams?
No, they're stealing the coal, basically.
I know they're stealing the coal, but they're chopping down the support pillars.
So actually, there's nothing that says that bootleg mining was illegal. So I'm not sure if it was actually stealing it. But
I don't care about the stealing, the theft. Your idea was to go in and knock down the support pillars?
It's the easiest stuff to get to if you don't have a giant crew. You know,
why?
These were small operations, Miranda.
Dumb.
In 1950, The Centralia Council acquired the rights to all of the anthracite coal underneath Centralia, meaning that the town now owns all of it. Around that time, there were 1,986 residents. Ooh. So keep in mind how many residents there are, because that also comes into play later.
Mm-hmm.
Most coal mining companies in the area were shut down in the 1960s, thus ending most coal operating in the town. Bootleg miners, however, were still a thing. So it's mostly like these bootleg operations.
Mm-hmm.
And now we come to the fire. So the exact cause of the fire is not necessarily known. There are a couple theories of how it actually started. For the most part, it's believed to have been started in May of 1962.
Okay.
The town's landfill was located in an abandoned strip mine next to the Oddfellow Cemetery.
Oh, an Oddfellow. They're coming back around.
Yes.
Hello, Oddfellows.
Yes, it is related to Ayoof.
Hi.
I made Hi. Sure.
We follow each other on Instagram.
Yeah, I made sure to...
Ayoof.
Yeah, I made sure to look
you
up...
You know, we could become members of Ayoof.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know why they're called the Oddfellows?
I think I discussed it, but you could.
But yeah, it was because
that was a many episodes.
Yeah,
ago.
It was because they didn't just accept like wealthy people. Yeah. It's because they also accepted working class.
Yeah,
which was very odd at the time.
And oh, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know if this is true, but I'm pretty sure they always accepted women.
I don't necessarily know about that.
I think they did.
You'd know better than I did because I didn't do research into them.
I believe they've always accepted women, or there was always a place in their organization for women at least. But they definitely accept women now. Mm-hmm. So
yes, there's a town landfill near the Oddfellow Cemetery. Typically, when the landfill was located in a different area, there would be a controlled burn of its contents prior to Memorial Day. You know.
Ew.
I mean, that's basically Stinky. What you do. What do you think happens to trash, Miranda?
It goes to the landfill, and that's where it sits forever?
No, it's incinerated half the time. Have you not seen Toy Story 3, Miranda?
And I've seen very wrong movies and TV shows.
Have you seen Toy Story 3?
I watched Monk, and Monk went and stood in a landfill once. And it was just trash. As far as the eye can see.
And there are a lot of trash in landfills, but, you know, if the trash builds up and everything, you got to have a way of getting rid of it still.
That sounds really stinky, but okay.
Yes, it would be.
Disgusting.
But... sometimes it needs
Understandable.
To be done. So yeah, they're trying to do this controlled burn to get it down.
Mm-hmm.
This time...
Did the controlled burn get out of control?
Marina, let me tell the story. I am painting a picture here. So this time, it was a bit different.
Oh yeah?
By law, the borough was required to have a fire-resistant clay barrier at every layer of the landfill. But for some reason, the construction had fallen behind, leaving unsealed openings that led into the abandoned mines beneath Centralia.
Oh, dumb.
It is thought that it was during this controlled burn on May 27th, 1962, that it wasn't extinguished and instead entered said mines.
With all the coal.
Yes.
The coal mine.
Yes.
Mmm. Oof. And where do you put coal?
Yeah, burn it. Carbon, man.
Interesting.
Alternatively,
yes,
it has been speculated that the fire was not due to the controlled burn, but rather a truck dumping hot ash in the landfill the previous day.
I'm sorry, that just sounds like someone trying to make it not their fault.
Not really. So either way, there was a borough council meeting from June 4th, 1962, where the minutes from it discussed two fires at the landfill and recounted bills from five firefighters over how to fight the fire at the landfill area.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is no one is really going to be held liable for this either way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think liability is even a question in here.
They say it's nobody exactly's fault.
No, that's not the tone they were using.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Anyway, so five firefighters had submitted bills trying to go over how to best fight this fire.
Mm-hmm.
Or these two fires, actually. They referred to them as two fires in that council meeting.
Why?
because the one from the hot ash and then the one from the controlled burn. Mm-hmm. So a fire burning underneath a town is kind of dangerous.
Yeah. What?
And when it's burning a coal mine?
What?
It's got plenty of fuel.
What?
I know, crazy.
I'm pretty sure coal actually puts fires out. Everyone go try
it. Sure, go try it. Miranda.
I'm kidding.
Only Miranda try it.
I was kidding. Don't go try it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, there was also a labyrinth of mines, which gave the fire many directions in which to spread because, you know, it used to be a mining area. And then the collapsed tunnels that bootleg miners left behind further complicated firefighting efforts because they couldn't get in from a different direction. Mm-hmm. They couldn't,
Nice going, guys.
The flames also resulted in the buildup of toxic noxious gases.
Yep.
Most specifically, carbon monoxide.
Yeah. And guess what gases can do? Squeeze through any little crack they can find. Mm-hmm. Any little
They
hole.
Fill the container in which they are kept. And if that's just the atmosphere, there's a lot of space for it to fill.
Mm-hmm. And then if there's any kind of crack that it can get out of, it will.
In 1979, the scale of the problem became clear when a local gas station owner went to check fuel levels in his underground tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Upon removal, the dipstick was hot.
Yep.
The owner used a thermometer on a string to check the temperature, which read 172 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's not good.
Or, for our listeners in other countries, 77.8 degrees Celsius. So attention
That's
to this
hot.
Fire,
That's
you know.
Hot. It was 95
was
degrees
building
out today.
Keep in mind.
That was much
the
hotter.
The fire started in 1962.
What year was it? I'm sorry.
1979.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
1981 is really where a lot of this takes place.
Oh, Lord.
I know. The fire's already been burning for a while. Oof. Almost two entire decades
Yikes,
at this point.
Guys. You really just didn't finish the job, did you?
Well, they couldn't really fight it properly at all.
Yeah, but they were just like, whatever.
And it was,
we'll just leave it.
Well, they didn't exactly have a choice. They didn't have the resources for fighting it. It would cost a lot of money. And also, they weren't receiving a lot of help. And that's where we'll get into the conspiracy later. So on Valentine's Day in 1981, 12-year-old Todd Domboski was playing in his grandmother's backyard when the ground seemingly opened up beneath him.
Oh, no.
His cousin, 14-year-old Eric Wolfgang, managed to pull Todd out of the steaming sinkhole. Said steam was tested and found to have enough carbon monoxide to kill a person.
Was the kid okay, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, so Todd was fine. He's good.
Oh, thank God.
By this point, the town had been living with the fire for so long that they weren't particularly fazed by it. Like, it just became a way of life.
Ashlyn, you know, on a daily basis, I worry about sinkholes. Probably more than a normal person should.
I know, but that's because we lived across the street from what used to be a sinkhole.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's why there was that burned out house that we weren't supposed to go to.
What?
You know, that platform and everything, we weren't supposed to go play in it and whatnot, but some kids did.
What?
Across the street from our house.
What? Excuse me.
I don't know what else to tell you.
Excuse me. I definitely went over there. Excuse me. I have vivid daydreams, not in a good day nightmares. Daymares? I don't know. Of the ground beneath me just opening up. How dare you.
So maybe you internalized that without remembering that there was a sinkhole.
How dare you.
And that might be why you think about it more.
I feel betrayed.
By what?
I feel
you had
endangered.
Full knowledge.
I feel endangered.
You had full knowledge.
Endangered.
We were told not to go over there for that reason.
Could have died.
No, you couldn't.
Continue.
We've had plenty of other near-death experiences that were far more close to death than this one. Okay, calm down, Miranda.
Continue with your story about the 12-year-old who almost got swallowed by his sinkhole.
Well, he didn't, and he's okay now.
A noxious, steaming one.
One that could have killed him quite easily, yes.
Fun.
He was saved by his cousin.
Hooray.
By this point, the town had been living with the fire for so long that they weren't particularly fazed by it.
Yeah, they did not care.
They went about their normal lives, despite the venting pipes drilled into the ground and the homes that had to be destroyed as they became too dangerous to inhabit.
Lovely.
Yeah,
they're just like, whatever, it's fine.
Well, not really. It's more like a sense of burnout. Like, if you stay in a situation for so long, even if it's a traumatic one, you kind of just become...
numb to it.
Yeah.
Like the pandemic.
Yes.
And the fact that... never mind. We won't get into that.
Yeah, we... moving on. But yeah, kind of like the pandemic. There's also a lot of other examples we could bring up. But yes, it's kind of like that whole pandemic burnout. One resident, Mary Gonclaves, remarked, "You know what people say around here? They say, this fire has burned for 19 years. It'll burn for 19 more." And they were definitely right, as the fire is still burning to this day.
Oh my God.
Yes.
It's 2020.
2021.
Ah!
The conspiracy.
Yes.
Part of the reason the citizens of Centralia seemed to be unfazed by the fire burning beneath their town was due to being burned out by their frustration, like I was saying, in particular at how the government mismanaged the situation. The citizens of Centralia felt like not enough was being done to save their town. Why hadn't the fire been put out?
Question, did they ever think to pour water down the venting pipes?
I'm not sure you can do that with a coal fire.
Just wondering.
But also...
What about oil? No, I'm just kidding.
Could they just put enough baking soda down there?
Yeah, could they just pour buckets of baking soda down?
I mean, no. So, this president of the Concerned Citizens Against the Centralia Mine Fire, Tom Larkin, had a theory that the government deliberately mismanaged firefighting efforts because they wanted to own the town's massive amounts of coal.
Yeesh.
When the fire started getting attention, businesses had actually offered to dig out the fire in exchange for the right to mine coal. Since the city of Centralia...
sounds reasonable to me.
Well, since the city of Centralia owned the coal, they had all the rights to it.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was also their main source of resources.
But the thing is, it's been burning so long now. What's the point? What's the point of keeping your access to the coal that is now being burned up?
Not sure, quite frankly. More than that, the government seemed to be inactive in adequately addressing the issue entirely, having contributed minimal resources to the cause.
Yeah.
This conspiracy would later be compounded by a questionable use of eminent domain when the last 63 residents of Centralia refused to relocate.
We shall not be moved.
We're going to go over eminent domain and, like, what it actually means.
Yeah, because that confuses me so much.
Eminent domain is the practice of a government taking private property for the purpose of public use.
Hate that.
The key item here is that the purpose has to benefit the public. Most commonly, eminent domain has been used in order to build roads and public utilities.
I still don't think the government should be allowed to be like, we're just going to take your land. Thanks.
We'll get into that a little bit. When railroads were being built, the scope of eminent domain expanded a bit because the railroads were owned by private companies. So in order to connect railroads, the government had to use eminent domain and then transfer the property to a private third party.
That's even more screwed up.
This set a precedent for the government to then take blighted properties, you know, basically condemned almost, that had a negative impact on surrounding properties and transfer them to a third party for redevelopment. What's probably worse is what has come out of this.
Yeah.
Since then, eminent domain has expanded to include taking private property and transferring it to a private third party when the third party can redevelop a property in a way that will bring in increased tax revenues.
So what you're saying is gentrification to like an extreme.
Kind of. It's more like the government, if they think that they can get money off of the redevelopment.
That is so wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You really shouldn't be able to do that.
It's not... I don't think it's really used that often, but I'd have to do more research into that part.
It's used... no, the fact that it's used at all.
Yeah. Well, in order to use eminent domain in some areas, the government must make an offer to buy the private property and only resort to eminent domain when that is refused.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it is in some jurisdictions. I'm not sure if that's in every place in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Eminent domain would then imply that the land in Centralia would become redeveloped, which added fuel to the conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
The facts.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1981, going back to that, the town voted 2-1 in favor of what was essentially a poll referendum issued by James L. Nelligan, I believe he was a congressman, stating that they were basically willing to pick up and rebuild the town elsewhere if they could work on extinguishing the fire. But it took until 1983 for any funds for relocation to become available. In 1981, the state, local, and federal governments had spent a combined $1.3 million to try and extinguish the fire. Now, again, the fact that that's the combined number is a little strange, you know? By this point, there had been some compensation for those in the impact zone, but not nearly enough to make up for the depreciating home and business values. More than that, Centralia had been a town where, despite living on wages that were well below the national average, citizens still put a lot of effort into their homes and the upkeep. Many had families that had been in the area for a century, basically. Those who had voted against the referendum figured that living like they had been for the last 19 years was better than losing their roots. It kind of makes sense when you think back, like, all of their family members are buried here. This is also, like, a rural area. It's a very small town. Your entire life has been here. And also, you've been in this situation.
But also, there's a toxic fire burning beneath you.
Yeah, but you've been living with it for 20 years, you know.
But also, there's a toxic fire burning beneath
you. It hasn't killed you yet. In 1983, Congress allocated $42 million to relocate the citizens of Centralia. Most of them took the buyout, and over 1,000 Centralians left the town. By 1990, there were only 63 residents left. In 1992, Governor Bill Casey claimed eminent domain over the remaining property in Centralia. The remaining residents tried to overturn the action using the conspiracy theory, basically in court, but to no avail. Still, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania eventually reached a settlement with the last remaining citizens, allowing them to spend the rest of their lives in the city. Or in the town, I'm sorry. It's not quite a city. Upon their deaths, the property will then be subject to eminent domain. According to the 2020 census, there are only 13 residents left in Centralia.
That's kind of sad. They're just like, okay, we'll wait for you all to die. Then we'll take your house.
Well, I believe there's only about 5 houses left in the area. So what is the truth? You know, did the government
start the fire so they
could... No, not start the fire, but did they sabotage... But did they decide, you know, oh, we're not going to put in a lot of efforts, we can take this land for ourselves?
I think they were just lazy. I don't think it has anything to do with the land.
But why would they just let it burn? On the pro-conspiracy side, there is something to say about the proposed way in which the fire was started. Like, why did their local government continue with a controlled burn if they had fallen behind in the construction of a fire-resistant barrier?
Yeah, like,
that's why something would, I didn't actually find the answer to.
I'm sorry. Yeah, at that point, you... Yeah, why...
Especially when it was a law that you had to have that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't constructed yet.
Who was going down for that?
Yeah, that part I'm not quite sure about. However,
yes.
Those who have researched extensively and even written books on the fire have found no hard evidence to even suggest a conspiracy. Also, the demand for anthracite coal is and has been on the decline for a while. There's also no telling how much coal was left in the mines by the time the fire was even started, because a lot of it had been mined out. Furthermore, even with the government owning the land, all of the mineral rights still belonged to the borough. So,
the
government really didn't get
anything. However, the minerals are useless at this point because they're toxic.
I mean, the minerals themselves wouldn't be toxic. Just getting them might kill you. But why let it burn instead of eventually stopping the fire?
Because it costs money.
With it being such a small town as well, the cost of firefighting efforts, like you were saying, probably outweighs the value of the town as a whole.
That's sad. But also, we shouldn't continue to let a toxic fire burn beneath the earth.
But also, it would certainly cost more money than the Pennsylvania Abandoned Mineland Program can afford.
Sorry.
And the government
in fact, they have
isn't really
program
interested.
Like that. It's so sad.
Well, there was a lot of mining in the Pennsylvania, yeah. Not just this area. But on the topic of government mismanagement, you know, why did they mismanage it so
yeah.
much? We can kind of look at Flint, Michigan, almost.
I was going to bring it up earlier. When
I know,
because
like, it felt like
you,
it.
When people kind of just become complacent.
Well, and the thing is...
Not complacent, but like they just become stuck in their own situation.
So, Flint has a population of over 94,000.
Yeah.
And long story short, the Flint water crisis. I'm going to briefly do a rundown for those of you who don't know. It occurred in 2014 when the city of Flint was switched from the Detroit water pipeline to an older lead pipeline.
Oh,
in its
correct.
Area. These pipelines leach toxic levels of lead into the water supply.
I'm sorry, why would they be switched to an older lead
That's
pipeline?
A whole other political issue that I, again, brief rundown. The situation was largely mismanaged, and even by 2019, when the crisis officially ended, there were still massive concerns over the state of the water. While the city was switched back to the Detroit pipeline in 2015, those lead pipes that remained underneath mm-hmm. the ground, basically, were still leaching lead. Ultimately, the city had to do a massive overhaul of inspecting and replacing pipes.
Yeah.
And even then, there were reports of some officials mismanaging this by not running proper testing of certain homes, certain high-risk homes
mm-hmm.
as well. And there was a lot going into the whole mismanagement thing that I can't really cover, but... It was problematic. It's
yep.
still problematic. I don't necessarily know if the citizens consider it resolved at this point, because I think the last time I really checked in about that was 2019, since 2020 was a
mm-hmm.
was a year.
Yeah.
It was a time.
2020 was a time.
And now it's not, and we're in 2021.
It's still a time.
It's a time, but different.
A different time.
So, yeah, there was a lot of mismanagement going on around there.
Clearly.
And that's a city of 94,000 people.
Uh-huh.
So why would the government care with, like, 1,200 people, you know?
Yeah.
Which is a really sad way of looking at it.
That is. I'm sorry. The good of the many outweigh the good of the few. Shut up. Everybody matters.
Exactly. And that's kind of the point.
Figure
like,
it
I'm
out.
I'm glad they actually gave them... those buyouts, you know, to go and relocate, because this was a lot. And mm-hmm. currently, Centralia is one of the most visited ghost towns in America.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause people like going there and seeing what it's about. And if you actually look it up, you can see, like, these cracked roads that have, like, fire going on underneath them and things like that. In theory, it seems like it might look interesting.
Yeah.
In practice, it's kind of horrifying. And actually, the 2006 film, Silent Hill,
yeah.
Kind of used Centralia as, like, inspiration.
Oh, fun.
Got a lot of inspiration there. So, the fire in Centralia, Pennsylvania, has been burning for nearly 60 years now.
Gross.
It is estimated that it will continue to burn for over 100 years.
Gross.
And there's nothing anyone can do to stop it.
Gross.
Right?
I mean, no, there is some stuff that people could do to stop it, but it would cost a lot of money and be a bit dangerous.
Yeah.
But still...
And so it's cheaper and better to relocate people.
I mean, get everybody out of there, but also I think they should try to fix it.
Right? Well, and people have become so used to, like, having that carbon monoxide around and everything, and, like, having headaches and everything from it. It's a horrifying kind of idea that something like this could happen, but also people would grow so used to it that they just stayed
there.
They're
slowly dying, pretty much.
Also, keep in mind, though, that this was a mining town, and one of the things with mining is, like, black lung. And it was just considered a job hazard.
That's sick.
Oh, I know. Like,
your job should not
blood.
Cause you bodily harm. Should not.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of OSHA violations.
Pretty much.
This
whole town is an OSHA violation.
Well, yes.
So
that's my story over Centralia, Pennsylvania. How do you feel about it?
I'm uncomfortable. I don't know why it kind of reminds me of Chernobyl. And I want to talk about Chernobyl someday, too, so I'm not going to go in detail. But not on quite the scale, obviously.
Right. Chernobyl was a bigger scale. But, yes, Chernobyl was deemed uninhabitable after all of that going down. And this is really an uninhabitable place. However, people are still choosing to live there.
They can't force people to leave.
I mean, they tried.
They tried.
They forced all but 13 people. The thing is that I think by 2017, there were like only 10 people left, and somehow they got 3 more, and I don't know how that happened.
The population grew, actually. I'm just saying.
So Miranda's assuming the birth rate went up.
Yeah. That's my only assumption, because I don't think they're letting people move in.
Yeah. I know that's what I was concerned about. Was I'm like, are people moving in? And then I also figured like it also might be children. And so for some reason, my brain conjured up this image of like a tiny child like with their suitcase like moving into a new home of their own.
I hate you. I don't know why I hate that so much.
Imagine like Boss Baby.
Oh God. I love Boss Baby. I hate the fact they made it a series because that contradicts the entire ending of that movie.
Oh, and you think on that contradicts the entire ending?
That note.
The movie's a mess.
I love that movie. And on that note, so if your town has an eternal fire living under it, you can tell us, you can let us know. At matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at matterthanacaterpillar. I post stuff on there sometimes.
You can also move.
Yeah. if your town has an eternal fire underneath, you should probably relocate. Just saying.
Jeez. Right? Or if you want to talk about your favorite places, like ghost towns to visit, maybe like ghost town conspiracies or ghost town hauntings. Literal ghost towns? What? Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear about them. So you can tweet those at us at MatterThanACat on Twitter.
You can also follow us on our Facebook page. It's gotten some more traction lately.
Oh, yeah?
Don't know where that accent came from, but here it is.
I thought you were about to say you don't know where that traction came from, and I'm like, I could tell you where it came from.
But yeah, that's at ITYW Podcast, or I'll tell you what, with a period instead of an ellipses.
And of course, you should be ready for our bonus episodes because I'm very excited about them. They probably still won't be out for a few weeks, but I'm looking forward to it. And you can also, if you want to see our faces, if you want to see our faces being ridiculous, you can find us on TikTok as well.
That's
at Madder Than a Caterpillar.
I just posted a TikTok that we recorded months ago.
Yes.
And it got a strange amount of attention. Like, it's not even that good of a TikTok, to be honest. I mean, it's kind of funny. We just used a funny audio. But it has, let's see. It has over 4,000 plays. It has over 1,000 likes, Ashlyn. That's a lot for us.
That's a lot for me, period.
Yeah. So, go check out our TikTok. We got some fun stuff on there.
Hey.
Give us some likes. We'll freak out about it because we're like,
why do people like us? Wait a minute. That's a good thing.
Also, our estimated audience went up.
Very cool.
Yeah. Hey, Ma. Hey, Pa. We're doing the thing.
Don't forget to check out our Patreon. At www.patreon.com/ I'll tell you what.
We got some good perks on there.
Yeah. You could get stickers.
Hey, don't give away the perks. They have to go to Patreon and look at them.
You could get stickers.
You've got to go to Patreon and look it up.
There's other stuff, too.
Anywho. And with that, we leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell the ghost that opened my basement door. That's living in my closet, I think. I don't know. And good night.
With it being such a small town as well.
I'm sorry, did my door just open itself?
Miranda.
It wasn't open.
I know. I don't want to talk about it right now. We're almost done. We'll deal with that off the podcast, okay?
We'll deal with the possible ghost in my basement.
Prioritizing.
I'm sorry. I've been staring at that door for like the past hour that we've been recording. And it was not open.
I'm aware. But also the house shifts and it doesn't quite stick. Anyway.
Oh my God.